Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It's Thursday, the April the 3rd, 2025, and this is program number 1349 of the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. In addition to radio 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcistlucia.com, and we are also streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. You can also reach us via WhatsApp, and that is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. Now, today we want to send out some birthday greetings for April the 3rd. And first, of course, we want to send it out to one of the individuals who keeps you entertained right here at RCI, and that is Keisha St. Helen. And happy birthday to you, Keisha, and we do hope that you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. We also want to send out birthday greetings to Mr. Lamar Mondesi. Happy birthday to you, sir, and we're hoping that you're having a wonderful birthday as well. Look back in time, a bit of history, and we go back to the year 1860, the start of the Pony Express. Mail was delivered by horse and rider relay teams between St. Joseph, Missouri, and Sacramento, California. In the year 1922, on this day, Joseph Stalin was appointed General Secretary of the Russian Communist Party by an ailing Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. In the year 1948, on this day, United States President Harry Truman signed the Marshall Plan to rebuild war-torn Western Europe after World War II, granting an initial $5 billion in aid to 16 European countries. 1973, on this day, the first mobile phone call was made in downtown Manhattan in New York by a Motorola employee, Martin Cooper. And he called into the Bell Labs' headquarters in New Jersey. And 2016, on this day, April the 3rd, the Panama Papers were published. And those were 11.5 million confidential documents from offshore law firm Mossack Fonseca, exposing widespread illegal activities, including fraud, kleptocracy, tax evasion, and the violation of international sanctions by the world's elite in the largest ever data leak. We now move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tests for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus, did all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got gasway and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, Jules, Grozy Lakes, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Well, welcome back to our program for today. And according to President Donald Trump, this would be the day after Liberation Day for the people of the United States of America, all in an effort to make America great again. And of course, we would know, I mean, from the data, the statistics tell us that the United States is the world's largest economy on the basis of GDP. It is one of a significantly large country, over 330 million individuals and growing. It is certainly one of the largest developed countries in the world. It is also the world's largest importer. And, of course, the balance of trade of countries is certainly something that many, many countries look at quite often to be able to determine where, you know, how well the economy is doing. So you have your GDP, gross domestic product, which really is a measure of the amount of economic activity that exists in any one year in that country. And it looks at a whole host of things, including goods and services, different sectors. It looks at government spending. It really is a comprehensive look at a country's economic activity. But then another major issue is a matter of trade. And you would recall for a very long time, the developed world, the OECD countries, the countries of the North, if you like, have very often promoted the idea of trade liberalization, a globalized world where everybody is trading freely with everybody else. And within that context, the desire to see no preferential treatment, no preferential arrangements, the idea to be able to see greater free trade areas, and certainly see more and perhaps fewer tariffs as well. This does not seem to be the approach being taken currently by the Trump administration. And part of that challenge is that although the United States is the world's largest economy, it is the second largest exporter in the world, but it is also the largest importer in the world. And as a result of this trade imbalance that exists, the United States has seen itself as a country that potentially may be losing influence. Now, of course, trade in goods is not the sum total of one's economy. And of course, we know that the United States has gone more and more towards a service-based economy. And that, of course, driven by a lot of things, financial services and IT services and hospitality, tourism, everything that you can well imagine in terms of services. And that, of course, helps tremendously. It has effectively given up part of its manufacturing strength to the likes of Asian countries. And, of course, in particular, the country that is now the largest exporter in the world right now, that is the People's Republic of China. And of course, it is also responsible for the country that has the largest trade surplus, if you like, against the United States. Of course, the United States sees it as a trade deficit. So this is the crux of a major, major concern of the United States as of now. And just to give you a sense of the figures that we're talking about, in its totality, the United States is carrying a trade deficit in the region of about, I believe, $1 trillion dollars. So it's certainly a significant gap that exists between, about that $1 trillion. And so it imports somewhere in the region of 2.9 trillion, and in terms of its exports, 1.9 trillion. So that's where you're going to end up with this significant deficit in the case of its current situation. So to try to correct that, they're trying to see how then they can provide a sort of a protectionist environment for American manufacturing. And so the placement of effectively what are import taxes, which is in this instance we call them tariffs, is the approach that is being utilized by the U.S. government. Now, of course, The risk herein is that these taxes will mean that the average American is going to have to pay more for things moving on into the future. And that is going to be where potentially there's going to be a significant crunch for the American economy. Obviously, it has to import a lot of things. In some instances, it may be importing raw materials. For example, when you're looking at the case of Canada, the United States has a $54 billion trade deficit with Canada, as well as a $157 billion trade deficit with Mexico. And of course, these are part of a free trade area. And a lot of these goods come back and forth. Some of them get refined. I mean, and especially in certain sectors like the automobile industry, you see a lot of back and forth in many of these products. But certainly in terms of the raw materials, the inputs that have to go into a lot of other manufacturing, that's going to be impacted by these tariffs that are being brought forward by the United States. So what it also means is that chances are even some American products and high-end products, those too are going to be facing increased prices. So even the price of manufacturing in the United States is likely to also go up as a result of these tariffs. So the price, the cost of American goods may not necessarily become that much more attractive if some of these things are not actually dealt with. And so quite often, you know, countries will provide very low tariffs for input goods into a process. So, for example, aluminium or minerals, you know, fuels, those things tend to be going at a pretty low rate in terms of tariffs. But we're not seeing that approach in this instance. And so we'll have to see how this actually works out for the benefit of the U.S. manufacturing sector, which these tariffs are hoping to be able to actually benefit. Now, of course, the as I mentioned, the largest deficit is that of China. And on its own, the United States has a deficit of $270 billion per year. And this is based on figures coming out of last year with China. And as well with many countries in Europe, of course, Germany is the economic powerhouse of Europe. In fact, is also the third largest exporter in the world. And the United States, in fact, does have a significant deficit as well with many European countries. The corollary to much of what we've been seeing, however, is that the actions that are taken yesterday seem to be an across-the-board slew of what were being called reciprocal tariffs. Now, trade is an interesting space in that one measure may not necessarily work the same way for every one country. And so if you are in a situation where you are running a trade deficit with a particular country, stands to reason that there is some benefit in potentially introducing tariffs with in that country, to the extent that if your argument is that you're trying to boost your own manufacturing or production systems within your country, then this will sort of help you against products that are coming out of that country. So just for argument's sake, you want to make a Chinese car more expensive so that the American car could seem relatively more attractive, right, to your U.S. buyer, because the Chinese car is now going to be paying a tariff, and so therefore that will be passed on certainly to the buyer, which means it's a more expensive car. So even though China may very well be shipping out cheaper cars once it gets to the United States because of this tariff, it then becomes a lot more, the U.S. car becomes more competitive against the Chinese car because of this imposition of tariffs on the Chinese car. That's the general idea as to why you may want to do it in the case of countries that you have a trade deficit. Because if it is that you're importing lots and lots of Chinese cars, right? That's a benefit there. So, but what happens now when you're in a situation where you actually are running trade surpluses with many other countries around the world? And this is the reality for a number of countries which depend on America for a lot of different products. And so the reality is, in fact, and well, let's take Australia first and foremost. It's somewhat of an outlier. Australia actually is a country that has the largest trade deficit with the United States. In other words, the United States has a surplus of trade with Australia. It exports more to Australia than it imports. So they have it as a surplus. Now, in those situations where countries have surpluses, it's a different kettle of fish. You now have the vast majority of countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, for example. In fact, for the United States, they have trade surpluses with these Latin American and Caribbean countries. So it doesn't actually necessarily work out in your favor, because you really... these countries will, in fact, always be benefiting in some degree more than you in a situation of reciprocity of tariffs. And let's look at an example for St. Lucia, if you want to come to this. St. Lucia exports far, far, far less than what it imports from the United States of America. All right? And we know this. I mean, intuitively, we know that, of course, St. Lucia has a very high import bill. I think we have proportionate to our population, we have one of the highest trade deficits overall, right, in the world. I think we are speaking of importing nearly, $950 billion or so. $950 million US dollars worth of imports a year right now, and we're exporting less than 100 million in terms of exports, right, to other countries. In the case of the United States, it's certainly even more profound, and I think we are only exporting, I think, in the region of about maybe $7 million worth of products to the United States of America. We have other trading partners where we export very little as well, too, in the Caribbean and whatnot, even Guyana. But in the case of the United States, our exports are pretty small. And so whatever our tariffs would be, we would always be, in a sense, making more from imposition of tariffs than the United States of America. So if the United States of America, which is what they've said that they're now doing, are applying a 10% tariff on imports from St. Lucia, it then means that those things that are going into the United States are going to be 10% more expensive for those who are, in fact, importing them. And so that will, of course, theoretically mean that these items may be less competitive to other products in the United States. But then the question is, are we actually importing things or exporting things to the United States that the United States can produce for itself? So that's where the challenge is. When you impose some of these tariffs, right? Are you providing necessarily an advantage to a U.S. Producer? And I would say that in look at when we look at maybe the portfolio of things that we actually are exporting to the U.S. right now, many of these things would be niche products, things that are perhaps being sought after through maybe grocery stores and certain, I mean, let's say talk about things like, or health products, things like CMOS, maybe pepper sauce, maybe certain things like that, you know, and I'm not too sure that those things, you know, would really be things that you'd ever be producing within the United States of America. So it, and it also stands to reason that you've just simply made it a little bit more expensive for the persons who are purchasing those items. So there can be a knock-on effect because your purchasing power is sort of being eroded somewhat. But then you've got to also think about, well, are the persons buying that, will they be still be, is there sort of an elasticity of demand in this instance where despite the price going up, people will still end up buying those products because they are artisanal products or high-end products, if you like, or things that they would tend to want to get. So, of course, I'm not saying this to make it appear that the actions of the Trump administration in this instance are not going to have knock-on impacts for St. Lucia. But in terms of the trade issue and trade balance, well, let's just put it this way. Latin America and the Caribbean has lost the war in terms of a trade balance long, long ago with the United States of America. The risk now we are facing is that U.S. products or products which we are getting through the United States, whether being manufactured in the United States or even when they are being manufactured in other countries, but we are still buying them through U.S. wholesalers and retailers, that, of course, is where we are going to be facing significant difficulties moving forward. And much of our trade, of course, has been dependent on, you know, well, entities that are providing these wholesale products coming onto our shelves. And so that is the question. Will we now begin to see a shift away from purchasing through U.S. Retailers, through U.S. Manufacturers to some degree? And will we then see a shift more directly towards buying them from the countries from which those items are in fact being produced or manufactured? And this is always the risk, and this is a point which has been made regarding the matter of the approach of tariffs. Because, and coming back to the example of the Chinese car, if the Chinese car is in fact being produced at a, and this is just an example of an item, right? It could be anything else. It could be a Malaysian jet or whatever. But whatever we, a Chinese car, somebody wants to buy it, it is at price X. And the U.S. is now making it price X plus 30-50%. So for the U.S. buyer, it is in fact more expensive. But for individuals around the world now, China is going to want to see, well, where can they sell this Chinese car? And there is, in fact, even the possibility that to be able to make it even more attractive to other buyers, they may, in fact, even reduce on the price of the Chinese car. So it might become X minus 10% of the value. So there are certainly potential opportunities in terms of what we are actually seeing. Are there perhaps immediate shocks that will be coming our way? Certainly. If the Caribbean islands are not agile in terms of trying to strengthen their trade relations. And unfortunately, we've been perhaps a little bit slow in terms of some of these moves, but certainly the trade departments and the importers, chambers of commerce, they're certainly going to have to be looking very, very carefully at how they can begin to realign a lot of their trading relationships to see how, in fact, they can potentially bypass these tariffs which are being brought forward by the United States of America. That's our dish of the day. And, of course, we're going to head in to take in our weather report at this time. When we come back, we'll take in some calls and touch on a few other matters.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus, did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also glad that's your vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down to my nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Grozy Lanes, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style, yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style, whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style, oh yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We are tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And that's all, of course, the 1.1. It's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style. Island Bath. The forecast valid for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from between the east, northeast, and east in near 28 miles per hour or 44 kilometers per hour with occasional gusts. And there is an advisory and average raises small craft for operators and sea beavers are strongly advised to exercise caution. Naturally, small craft operators and sea beavers are strongly advised to exercise extreme caution due to brisk winds and rough seas. The forecast for Les Antilles is fair to partly cloudy and windy with a few showers. And the weather summary, the Atlantic high pressure system will continue to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds and rough seas across the eastern Caribbean over the next couple of days. Patches of low-level clouds drifting along the wind flow will produce a few showers over the Les Antilles during the next 24 hours. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. Yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island Style. Whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island Style. Oh, yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island Style.
We are tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace out the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our
showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. And, of course, we've been discussing the potential impacts of the recently announced reciprocal tariff regime, which has been introduced by the U.S. Administration yesterday. Let's take in a call at this time. Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom.
Good afternoon, Mr. George.
How are you doing, caller?
Not too bad. Well, I myself could hardly understand what Trump is talking about, because I work in the car industry for Ford Motor Company for 18 years. I was there, and I was in shipping, and I can tell you so much country that Ford Motor Company, which registers America, everywhere he find a good market, he goes and he builds cars there. So, and when talk about bringing job, today is robot building the cars, Mr. George. Robot building the cars. When I joined Ford Motor Company, we had 11,500 people at Dagenham. By the time I left, there was less than 2,000 people. Is the whole line, everything is robot building the cars. So what they bring in, all the job he's going to bring in, who's going to do it? Is robot going to do it? Not people. They will take a few people, but is robot going to build those cars? And I tell you, a lot of, like, say, exports. I was in shipping, and we ship Ford make cars all over the world.
Well, that's an interesting point that you're making too, Cora, because you're right. So many U.S. companies have branched out around the world so that they can enter other markets and be closer to those markets so that they can then produce for those markets.
Oh, look at that.
So although they're not necessarily producing in the United States of America.
Because we are broken down parts. KD, broken down parts. Because most of the country, they assemble cars, but they don't make parts. So they bring the cars in and they assembly, and those cars have to find market. Now, one of the places he put a big tariff on is South Korea.
Right.
Now, we used to ship parts to Stransdale, and those parts there, we ship there, and they make the cars and they sell the cars. So all the you put tariff on American firm. But what he said, he want them firm to come to America, and once they reach America, they won't pay tariff. You think those firm, where they well established everything, they will go to America?
Well, you also have, and I think I remember hearing, I think it was Jeffrey Sachs, one of those gentlemen making the point when they were being asked about the state of why do you see so much manufacturing in China? And he was saying that part of it too is that you've got a lot of specialized expertise in China, right? People with very specialized skills, and you have an abundance of them, right, in one place, as compared to, you know, in the United States of America. And so it becomes a big challenge now. I mean, when you think about it, it's not that easy to be able to just shift some of these manufacturing activities out of those countries. There are complications in terms of that. Yes, you may have to move individuals. It'll take some time. So putting these tariffs on, it's certainly going to be a major shock in the interim to see what happens. Just as you all know, caller, one of the things that he was speaking about was the impact on shipping. right?
Yes.
And shipbuilding, I should say. The United States has not been a significant shipbuilder for a very long time now, right? And the shipbuilding industry has almost completely shifted towards Asian countries, in particular China.
All right.
You still have some in
Japan.
Exactly. Japan, South Korea is a major shipbuilding country. I think it's the second largest in the world. And China is the largest in the world, like nearly half of the world's production based on tonnage. How are you going to shift that, anytime soon? It is a significant amount of investment and infrastructure. The United States only represents about less than 1% of the actual output of shipping of ships right now in the world, less than 1%. And then you're introducing a tariff or a fee on all Chinese ships. So,
it is madness.
So you really are likely impacting, I mean, I don't know the exact figure in terms of the proportion of ships out there right now, which are in fact Chinese, but I'm pretty certain it's a significantly large number.
Say that
because a ship is Chinese manufactured, Chinese built, you're not going to hit it with a tariff. And in any case, individuals who are, the biggest beneficiary of that, maybe it may not even be the United States of America. It'd probably be the Koreans, because now people will be looking for Korean and Japanese ships instead of Chinese ships. But they won't be looking for American ships anytime soon, because there's just not any capacity.
America don't have the yard to build those massive ships they're building now, those huge ships. America don't have the yard to build those ships right now.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the policies that we're seeing, they hearken to a day long, long, long in the past.
And if you look on a car, is many countries make one cars,
Well, that's
very true. Because the cars that they probably building in Canada, we building the car, but some of the
parts
are coming from Japan.
Exactly.
All the way from other countries to build the car.
Yes.
So all they have to do right now is to put tariff on the parts that America will want.
Yep. Yeah. So I mean it's gonna be a very interesting where we're gonna be seeing the impacts, of course. I mean, we'll have to wait to see what in terms of the US and how that begins to impact on its
what we're talking about is that will bring us six trillion in how many years? 6 trillion. The money, all what, and you're already a millionaire. So you want to be a trillionaire.
Well,
which number we have to use? What next coming? Trillion.
I don't even know what would come after that one in this instance. But the other thing too about it, though, too, caller, is that in principle it sounds good. Okay, you have a significant fiscal deficit, right? You're not collecting sufficient amounts of money, so that you want to be able to reduce on your debt, your sovereign debt, so you need to raise revenue. Okay, that might be sounds reasonable, but in trying to raise revenue, he's also looking to give tax cuts to right?
That's what he craved for. He craved to give tax cuts, and he don't have the money right now to give tax cuts.
So
he going to put penalty on the whole world. Is the whole world he go for,
And of course, the beneficiaries of these tax cuts,
millionaires and trillionaires.
Those at the top seem to be the ones who...
That couldn't buy a pair of boots, which I know very well, is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And today, he's he's millionaire or trillionaire?
Well, I don't think he's a trillionaire, but...
Millionaire?
I don't know, I'm not too sure. But certainly, I mean, it is certainly a very going to be a very interesting couple of weeks, I suppose, and months ahead to see how some of this actually pans out. because, of course, the United States being the world's largest economy, yes, may very well end up, you know, potentially isolating itself and causing its own economy to be sluggish.
And, yes, and because they drink a lot of the European, what you call champagne, a lot of the European wine, and now he's going to punish them. So they will just draw the wine. The wine they can't spoil. The wine will stay there 100 years and it won't spoil. Just they have to back, put it down and let America drink their own rubbish. Good afternoon,
okay,
Mr.
Okay, caller, have a good one. Thanks for your contribution. And, of course, the number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046. And certainly China is one of the countries that has seen one of the largest of those reciprocal tariff increases, a 34% tariff being placed on Chinese products going into the United States. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. And what's on your plate today?
How are you, Mr. George?
Very good, caller. How are you?
How are your family and children?
They're good, thank you very much. Thanks for asking.
Dad, everybody.
Yes, very good, very good.
Mr. George, what's our main export to America?
To the United States? I'm not 100% sure. I know at one point it may have been electronic products, you know. I know there was a company, a couple of companies that were bringing in components, and they were being fitted out here to be re-exported. And this was an American company, yeah? So I don't know if that still holds.
Let me tell you, and don't think it is a trick question, you know. But our main export to America is tourism, you know.
In services, yes.
That's what our main export to America is.
Tourism services, yes.
Yeah, because trade is goods and services, you know.
It is goods and services, yes, certainly.
Now, the way you answer that question suggests that we on a track that we're thinking of commodities.
I was dealing with the issue of the tariff, so my apologies. You're correct on that?
Right. It's not our apologies. It's just an oversight to most analyses that are going wrong of these things. They don't really address the situation of trade with America, of especially these small islands in the Caribbean, who basically all of them, most of them, depend on tourism service.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to shift the discussion in that direction, you know, and we need the experts in tourism / economics / trade to start getting on board and explaining the repercussions of this thing to our main export earner, which is a service, tourism. You understand?
Right.
Yes.
Now,
and we need that. We haven't got any analysis of that, you know. We seem to be in a mindset of, because we get carried away as if we are China.
Earlier on I was explaining precisely that we in fact are running a significant trade deficit with the United States, and so the risk that we face in terms of the tariffs more so is the tariffs that are being brought on to the real manufacturers, which are potentially sold through American wholesalers to the Caribbean, if you like, right? So that's where there is a risk for us, because then products that are coming out of the United States will be more expensive, just as they will be more expensive for persons in the United States. So those things will be passed on to the Caribbean consumer. Of course, coming to your point regarding the matter of tourism, if we have a sluggish American economy and Americans are now spending more money, the average American is now going to have to spend more money on the basics, right? Their spending power.
Exactly.
Their spending power is going to be compromised.
That should I don't know. I
mean, and so then you may very well see a tempering of, or even a reduction in, you know, the number of U.S. outbound visitors, you know, coming to places like the Caribbean. They may very well want to stay, you know, stay in the U.S. and do a vacation there instead. All right. And so those things have implications for us, certainly, in that regard, especially when, well, some people may argue that, well, St. Lucia is on a higher end type of,
yes,
of
so
holiday.
That don't matter. These
so,
don't matter to the people who have the money.
Right. So it might not matter, right? So that we might be okay relative to some others which are more dependent on the volume traveler, the middle class traveler. So maybe might be so, but the impact can be very, very real though in that sense, because if the United States goes into a recession, that is going to be problems for the entire Caribbean, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure.
I mean, it's easy to put wrap your mind around, you know, commodity trading, how it's going to affect us. Because obviously, most of what we consume is imported.
Yes, that's very correct.
If we see the price going up, the price going up in these countries, then obviously it will impact on us. But I think we need to do the diagnostics on the service industry, you know, because this is where, I mean, this is paramount, the paramount driver, sorry.
Of the economy right now.
Economy.
Yes, yes.
You know, and services and financial services, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tourism, financial services. So we need our pros to come out. We need them to edify us and educate us.
Agreed with that, caller.
I don't proffer too much because it's not my, you know, I you know, area of expertise, and I don't want to see things and based on what I may be reading on the net or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it behoves the professionals, you understand, to really do a thorough look at it and come and explain to us. And then alone, maybe with a proper understanding of what we face, that's the only way we'll have an adequate response. Huh? True?
Some of these responses, we've been speaking about it for a very long time, caller, and that's part, I said some of the responses, whether we like it or not, will probably not even change. But it's just that we've been so lethargic about about making those moves. You remember, even before this, we were talking about food security, we were talking about energy security.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
and even
we were talking about 25 by 25, right?
And you're right, and there isn't even, you know, any security gain by or you know, positive, you know, hope. Sorry, that because we, you know, we address it, we tend to see the leaders in the Caribbean will come together. Therefore, they hope that we'll get a solution. You hope that the fact that more countries are on board and with the, you know, the flow, in the flow, that we will get things running.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we see that big conference we had some years, 2 years ago, I think in Trinidad.
That's right.
Security, you remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we talked to a great extent about, Rowley said so much about pigeon peas, and everybody had some story to give and to make, you know, everybody feel good.
Right.
Feel good, you know. We all in the house. We all on board. And then, like you rightfully say, we then just become lethargic about all these things. When we go back to our, you know. Yeah. So.
Well. Let's buckle up on this one though, because certainly
because that report doing something, you know, meaningful. Anyway, thanks
very much for that contribution, caller. Have a good one.
Right, right.
And, of course, the risks are quite tremendous in terms of what we are facing right now. Some people might be even projecting, will this mean that we may very well be seeing a decline in global growth? Is it going to have that impact in that countries are going to be trading less because of these barriers? I mean, these are things that have been spoken about for so many years by the likes of entities like the WTO and the World Bank and the IMF, the importance of trade liberalization and the benefits that these things have for the economy, open markets, open economy. And you know, all of this theory has been there and to some degree, you could say, has been tested as well. And so, it'll be very interesting to see what kind of economic, what the economic models are saying are likely to come to the impact of this, and begs a question as well, what level of analysis has actually been done with respect to these tariffs which are being imposed? The Trump administration would somewhat like to suggest that they're being, I wouldn't say generous, but they've in fact discounted what could potentially have been higher rates, their argument from other countries. But it will certainly have to, we'll have to see how that all, of course, pans out in terms of the numbers and in terms of people's pockets, because we'll have to wait a couple, maybe weeks and months to see what is going to be that knock-on impact on prices in the United States of America. Now, of course, other countries have also said, based on those actions, they may very well also adjust their own tariffs in a form of reciprocity. Largely in the case of the Caribbean, the tariff which has been introduced is that of a 10% tariff on certain goods. It's also in the case of the UK, a 10% tariff was placed. Brazil, a 10% tariff was placed. But that too may very well have to do with the fact that in all those cases, the United States is actually running a trade surplus, right? So they actually are exporting more to these countries than they are in fact importing. So that's why you would generally see these lower tariffs being placed on countries like Brazil, as well as us here in the Caribbean, and even in the UK, because they also are running a deficit with respect to the United States of America. So indeed, we're going to have to look to see how it all pans out and how quickly the Caribbean can potentially deal with some major, major challenges. We've spoken a little bit about the shipping challenge. That's a very real threat in terms of the operation of the traditional players in the Caribbean, the likes of Tropical Shipping, for example, which many of our islands depend on for bringing product in from Florida, and how that may very well impact on a lot of the trade. Now, remember, for example, we have a very healthy barrel trade every so often. And then what happens now if you have a lot of these products becoming more expensive in the United States of America, which has already been seeing the impacts of inflation? You're going to see more inflation. You're going to see more inflation in the case of the U.S. And unfortunately, rest assured, it is likely to mean that there's going to be more inflation being passed on to the Caribbean countries like St. Lucia as well. And how that can be potentially avoided really means how quickly we can ramp up more direct trade that does not depend on U.S. Brokers, wholesalers, exporters for gaining certain products. So it's certainly going to be a test for the Caribbean in that regard, to be able to broaden its trading partners. And perhaps certainly will mean that we have to look further to the south, further to other countries, for other products that could potentially be sourced out of those markets. Certainly would help if the Caribbean actually had better control of its shipping. The logistics at the moment is one of those areas that clearly needs to be strengthened at this moment. We don't have, you know, as far as I'm aware, any sort of significant indigenously owned shipping line. There was, of course, the foray into Geest at one point, in terms of trade coming out of the UK. Perhaps there are other opportunities to be had with other players in other countries at this time, to be able to see how better we can deal with such matters. Of course, the Caribbean has been in the past a pretty busy place in terms of in transit trade, whether it's Panama, whether it's Freeport, whether it is Kingston, Jamaica. And so some of these links will certainly have to be leveraged as much as possible into the future. That's our program for today, and we do hope that you can join us again tomorrow for another one. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.